Hi guys, Jason here. I want to tell you about wink.com, W-I-N-C. It's a great way to discover new wine if you don't know a bunch about wine. Basically, all you do is go to their website, fill out a survey based on your flavors, what you're into, what you're not into, and they ship personalized selections right to your door. They start at just $13 a bottle. You get to come home to a box that's been customized just for you, and then you can start chugging ASAP. There's no membership fees. You can cancel anytime if you want to skip a month because you're out of town or because you don't have money. No problem. Shipping is covered. If you don't like the bottle, they'll replace it with one you love today. And if you use wink.com/thestew, you get $20 off your first shipment. Try wink.com, TRYWINC.com/thestew, and you get to support us over here at the pod, and we can keep delivering you great episodes to your door every week. Enjoy the show.
I said, what you know about it?
It's the stew, baby.
Got the mise en place.
Young stew, baby.
And the room a lot.
Hello, hello. You're listening to The Stew. I'm Jason Stewart. Andre Canaparo, say hello.
Hi.
And we do have one special guest, Courtney. Say hello.
Hello.
You're the chef at John and Vinny's here in Los Angeles.
Yes, I am.
Which is one of the most popular restaurants in LA.
By a lot.
By a lot.
It's true, guys.
It's not easy to get into John and Vinny's.
It's not.
Whenever somebody's like, hey, you want to go to John and Vinny's? I'm like, yeah, but like, how? And then they're like, I'll just call and make a res. And then I'm like, four top for 8 o'clock?
No.
Maybe in July.
Right. Or to go.
If you haven't been there, it also sits in a very like inviting, semi-casual, like it's a little torqued up inside, but it also for... The
Did
amount
you
of
say
time
it's a little torqued up inside?
Torqued. It is torqued.
Not twerked. I said torqued.
Got it.
Car stuff.
Because I've been taking Mucinex and I'm feeling a little torqued up inside late the last couple days.
Truck stuff.
Got it.
Four wheeling.
Yes.
But it's also not really kind of overprecious or pretentious. It's really fun inside, yet it's still incredibly hard to get into.
Which I think is, for a lot of people, misleading because they think, oh, it's casual Italian. It's kind of like a diner. We're open all day.
I'll just do a pop in.
Huh? Yeah,
or just
exactly.
Pop in for a burrata ball,
right? And it's 45 seats, so it's small.
Yeah,
it is small, and I think the smallness of it is kind of what's helped get that buzz. The scarcity of availability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've learned over the years that's a very good way to build your brand and product
for sure
for restaurants or for a clothing company or cars or you name it, buddy.
What didn't you just mention? You're working the door in Hollywood, holding the line, making it look real big,
or even
while it's empty inside.
Right, exactly.
Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly.
That's also a thing that I've heard that people do.
When somebody gets in, there's six other people, but 400 outside, and they're like, "What the?"
You know, that's not a tactic that I ever liked to implore myself.
But did you?
I maybe did it a little bit, but I mean,
that was always the worst.
Yeah, the worst thing ever when you go in and you're like, all right, $20 is $20. It better be good. And there's four people in there, and they're all ugly.
God damn it! Sure, keep the line outside. Get the buzz going.
Right.
I get it.
So, I want to know your journey of how you got to the J&V.
It's a long one.
Where are you from?
How much time do we have?
Enough. All the time you need.
I'm not from LA.
None of the boring stuff, though.
Okay.
You're not from LA.
Okay.
Just the hits.
There's some boring. There's some really boring.
Just the bangers.
Okay. The bangers.
I'll wink at you when it starts getting a little boring.
We have the filler album tracks out of it.
You should do the winking because I tend to carry on. Okay, so I'm from Chicago. Grew up in a big Italian family.
Well,
as soon as you said the word Chicago, your voice changed to full Chicagoan.
All right. So
big fucking family, dude. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, can we swear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
absolutely.
Good. Noted. Okay. I grew up in
drugs?
A big fucking family in Chicago. No, I grew up in a suburb of Chicago and always was surrounded by Italian food. My grandma is Italian, my mother. So I've had insight into Italian food since I was a kid. I started cooking with my grandmother, but never pursued it professionally, mainly because of the fact that I never really saw any women in kitchens. So I was always obsessed with like small, you know, 40 seat restaurants that were Italian. You love a 40 seater, but that's what I really grew up around that. So when I was like looking in kitchens, I didn't see any women. And I remember telling my grandmother as a kid, like, I want to cook. Like, this is what I'm going to do. And she was like, you're never going to make any money. You're not going to get married. You won't have a family.
Wow.
A couple of those check out right now. No, I'm kidding. But
you're never going to have a man.
But she deterred me from it. So I started doing front of the house as a, like, in my teens through college.
Were you a hostess at Islands?
I was not.
Red Robin.
No, but I did work
Red
at
Robin.
I did work at Chevy's.
Hell yeah.
Chevy's?
Yep, that's when I learned to carry a tray with margaritas.
Yes.
After dropping.
Chevy's is known for making the tortillas to order, right?
To order, and they're known for like their hot like tortilla chips that they put in like a warmer, which was so good.
Stewie and I used to really abuse the Chevy's free tortilla policy in high school.
Yeah, unlimited.
We would go there and it would be like seven dudes. Mm-hmm. With like $4 total between us, and we'd order a side of guacamole and chips and five waters, and then we would just wait for the conveyor belt of tortillas to come out, and then you would just go and you just get like a dozen of them, like, and put them under your shirt and go back to your table and eat it like a little hamster.
Yeah.
And then when the waitress comes, we're like, we're good.
Well,
no pretty tip. Full.
This 150 tortillas on one table of five dudes.
I'm full. We all had homes where kitchens full of food that we could eat, but we were eating as if we were fully homeless for sure.
But wait, Chevy's, I would imagine, also home of very drunk people in the middle of the day.
All the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do people drink in Chicago?
Oh, yeah. And
there's nothing else to do except kill yourself or drink in Chicago, right?
Exactly.
Or get
exactly.
Fat.
Lots of drinking, lots of sports, especially watching sports while drinking is really the target.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like sometimes people don't think about that. When you think about day drinking, you think of like your local bar that you drive by.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's the drawing room that opens at 6 a.m. the minute you can legally sell alcohol in California. Oh, yeah. But like when you're driving through a town, you're like, oh yeah, there's some people in there early. You know what it looks like. But you drive by a Chevy's and you're like, oh, it's bright. A lot of parking. It's kind of fun. Looks like there's some kids hanging out.
Uh-huh.
But there's also people at 9:30 in the morning at that bar hammered.
Exactly. So it was a tough first go at serving. And shortly after that, like, I was in school for psychology, thought I was going to be a psychologist. Mm. I graduated, I moved downtown, and I started working for the Boca Group at
Boca
GT Fish and Oyster. No, Boca.
Sorry.
No.
I don't know the Boca Group. What is that?
It's a big restaurant group in Chicago, and one of their chefs had this like fish and oyster place, and I started working there, and I just saw how inspired he was by the food, and I was like, man, I got to get back in the kitchen. Mm. But they wouldn't let me because I was too good of a server. So like I was like making crazy money. And I was like,
you don't want this job, kid.
Yeah, well, the kitchen was. They were like, we're making $10 an hour. You're walking home. I mean, I was making crazy money there. And so like they were like,
I believe it.
Why are you going to leave to be a cook? What is the matter with you? Everyone thought I was insane.
Yeah.
They're like, my hands are bloody and burned.
Most cooks in LA still think that you're probably insane at this point.
I'm homeless.
Yes.
Yeah, my brother is a GM, and sometimes he's like, sometimes I want to go back to being a server it's just like, just make a bunch of money for not doing all that much.
Right.
I mean,
with cash. And so when you leave with that much money, you're like, man, if I were to like go to culinary, like I kept wanting to go to culinary school, but never really doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's where it gets
juicy. You're like,
how
can I spend like $110,000 to make less money?
Right. Exactly.
I should go to school and then go back to house.
Right. So I moved to San Jose. I was in a relationship. I broke up out of that relationship. It was really a tough time. Mm-hmm. I was working for Whole Foods at the time.
I've been to San Jose. It is a tough time over there.
It's a tough time. Hey, there's some really amazing things about it.
I went to high school in San Jose.
Did you? Okay. Yeah, so I kind of like Willow Glen, San Jose.
Sure.
Very cute.
Yeah.
Like maybe a decent restaurant or two.
I've only been there one time. And so I have no opinion. Okay. Yeah. I have no right to say anything about it at all.
At Whole Foods, I'm working with food. I start like kind of looking at how they're doing recipes.
Wait, what was your job at Whole Foods?
I was their HR person.
Oh, wow. Yeah. HR at
So
Whole
I had
Foods.
A psychology degree. Yeah. I got a job like in HR and business development.
This was the San Jose move.
This was the San Jose move.
Did you get to fire people?
I did and hire both, which are both really important parts of being a chef. So it all adds up. This all adds up. You guys get it. So I happened to go to, I worked at a store that was right next to a culinary school, started taking classes, had a French professor who was really intense. His name's Xavier Malinove. He was so crazy and scary. And I remember really enjoying him.
Did you call him Professor X?
We did call him Professor X.
Did he have a shiny bald head?
Yeah. Was he in a wheelchair?
No, but like he was seriously terrifying. And
did he ever hurt you?
He did. Mentally, yes, but physically, no. What I really like was taken by the way he ran a kitchen. I mean, he was really stern and tough, but like I tend to be a little bit of a masochist, and I was like, this guy's great. And he didn't break me in the kitchen. I think there are a lot of times where people were really scared of him, but I found his way of managing like a way of like pushing us all. So him and I kind
of... You were just fucked up enough.
I was fucked up. Yeah. I mean, when you grow up in a divorced family, it's like, you're ready. You're ready for the BS.
Bring it on, pussy.
Bring it on. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You got nothing.
You got nothing on me. Right.
It's California weather.
Let's go. Exactly. So because he's from France, he was like, you know what? My last day of school, he was like, you're really good. I think you should do something with cooking and take it really seriously and take some chances. Like, where are you going to work after this? And I was like, oh man, like maybe at a farm, maybe doing this. And he was like, absolutely not. And he was like, you listen to me and you listen to me right now. He got really serious. And he was like, you have to move to Paris. You got to get out of here. You got to go to Europe. And I was like, at this time I had spent all my money that I made as
a
server.
And I got a place to stay too.
Right. I had, no, he didn't have a place. He was just like, just go. And I was like, how am I going to just go? And where the fuck am I going to work in Paris? Like, and I just got out of culinary school. Like I was so green.
Right. Well, like when you meet a funny person, they're like, you should be on SNL. And you're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like, what the fuck? So I kind of like laughed at him. I went back to work at Whole Foods. I like pulled up Expedia. And I remember I was like, if I can get a ticket to Paris for under $600, I'm going. So sure enough, there was a ticket for like $597 to Paris. I booked it for a month from that day.
Expedia.com?
Yep. Expedia.com. .com. Wait, let me get it right. .com. I don't know.
I just wanted to hear it with the Chicago accent.
And I quit my job that same day at Whole Foods.
So you said au revoir, suckers.
I was like, I'm getting out of here.
You fired yourself.
I fired myself. And I loved those people so much. I was so sad. Like, that was a great job. And I knew I had to, like, really do something and take a risk. And I sold everything I had. I moved to Paris by myself. Did an Airbnb. Went to the first stage that I set up via email with a chef I had never met. I just had heard of this restaurant called Verju. And got to Paris, slept, went in, and got hired.
What does verjus mean?
Verjus is like the unripened juice from a grape.
Yeah, like the green.
It's like green juice. It can be green, it can be red.
How appropriate.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Truly a metaphor for your life, huh?
Right. That job was intense.
I
was terrible
in the kitchen.
French brigade, very intimidating cooks running circles around me from
He's
day
Italian,
one.
So he doesn't like the French.
Hey,
that's not true. I just don't like mean people.
I'm just kidding. Well, I've never said that.
Listen, though, I will
that.
Tell you, I was so intimidated of everyone in France. Like I was scared, but I tried. Like that was the thing. I tried to speak the language. I acclimated myself to like the culture. And
how many packs a day were you up to?
I was probably smoking one pack a day. For me, that's a lot.
Wait, for real?
Yeah, for real.
Damn, my joke becomes reality.
What do you do with all that stress? You smoke.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she had.
And then also cigarette breaks bring you closer to other cooks who don't talk to you in the kitchen. So it's like amazing. I was like, oh shit, that guy hates me.
Camaraderie.
Yeah, he hates me.
I've seen Oz. I know how that works.
Yeah, I'm gonna go have a smoke with him, and then if he runs out, lucky me, he can bum one for me. This is building.
Yeah. Give me a cigarette.
There
Hold
we
my
go.
Pocket.
If
exactly.
I can give this guy a cigarette, he'll stop like spitting at me
Which
in public.
Didn't really work, but it did. It did at least give me 5 minutes of peace, thinking that this person might totally like
look at you as a human.
Look at me
for
as a human.
Second.
Yeah.
If you're going to take a smoke break, no better place to do it in the world than Paris.
Oh, isn't it the truth?
In a back alley somewhere,
cobbled streets.
It's so true. But here at the time, you know, I had just turned 29. I mean, or I think I was 30. I don't remember, but. I got there and I was like so much older. I felt old in that kitchen. And so like I was like, oh man, like I don't want these people to learn too much about me. And you know, I didn't, it was a very vulnerable time.
So you are the rookie and the grandma at the same time.
Exactly, which is such a weird experience. Because I was like, mentally, I'm a lot That's older and more mature. And I felt like I brought that to the table in that kitchen.
Yeah.
Because my responses when people tried to like sabotage me or make me feel kind of like out of the loop, I kind of knew what was going on. I saw it for what it was and I didn't pay it any mind. At least to them. I would go home and be like, fuck, everyone hates me. And I drink a glass of rosé by myself and cry myself to sleep. Mm-hmm. But beside that... it took them some time. And so what I learned about the French is you just kind of have to give them a little bit of space and prove to them that you're not like a tourist coming in and out,
sure.
You know, not really paying attention or respecting mm-hmm. why Paris is so special. Mm-hmm. So anyway, here we go. Are you giving me the wink that it's this?
No, that's not the light. You are not getting the light. You're getting the nod I'm listening. So this then, is great. Yes.
The look that I was giving you was me trying to repress in all the things that I wanted to say about the French people, but okay, choosing
good.
Not to.
Okay, great. I think that's a smart decision. Mm-hmm. And we will move forward.
Swallow that.
And we'll move forward. So I stayed there for a while. I think I was there for almost a year-ish. And then I ended up going to Bologna. I was so burnt out from Verjus. I just felt like mm-hmm. I had grown so much. I almost quit a couple times. I mean, it was a kitchen that I was like, I'm not even doing anything here that's good. I'm just fucking things up all the time. Such a klutz. But you know what? Everything I fucked up, it's like I came to work the next day, you know, and I could see that the chef really respected that about me and he didn't give up on me and kept teaching me. So I knew I was growing. Whether or not they were telling me that,
right.
There wasn't a lot of like pats
she
on my back.
She burns everything, yeah. But you know, she's oh my god, she shows up on time every day.
Oh my god, we had like a kitchen fire once. It was a disaster. I blamed it all on myself. It was
she turned a salad station into dumpster fire.
I mean, yeah. Well, I wasn't on salad station. I was on fry station. Huh?
Was it just classic French food, or what was going on?
It wasn't. It was a mix. Braden Perkins is the chef. He's amazing, and it's kind of a mix of French influence. He does like pasta, Asian. Influence. I wouldn't say it's like French specifically. Yeah.
Okay. They have both kinds, steak and frites.
Yeah. And he was cool because he really like took a lot of feedback from people. And like that was weird for me to have a voice at all in a kitchen when I was so new. That was mm-hmm. fun. So anyway, go to Bologna. I'm like happy that I'm there. I had just like really indulged. I had traveled around Italy by myself and ate and kind of was like trying to decide what I was going to do when I went back to Chicago.
There it is.
But here's what happens. Shot. I talked to my brother who lives in LA and he's like, hey, you should come through. Haven't seen you in forever. Like visit me in LA and let's go eat at some restaurants. And the number one restaurant I had was Tuamek. I had always wanted to go. I knew of Chef Ludo. So turns out my brother, it's great, great. But my brother couldn't go, went by myself, sat at the bar and I met Ludo. Told him about my experience in France, and he was like, hey, come stage here.
It's so weird that he gave you so much attention. I don't know why that would be. Just a single girl sitting in the bar, hanging out,
oh, my God,
LA.
Please.
No,
shocking. Never. He was like,
doesn't check out.
Ludo's a dog, no matter who you are, who you look like.
I don't want him, yeah. Okay, so, all right, but I didn't even end up working for him. I ended up, like, staging, getting in contact. They didn't have a position there. They were opening Petit Toit. It hadn't opened yet. Got me in contact with Jonathan Whitner.
Were you working with Doug?
I was. I staged with Doug, who is a great guy.
He's a goddamn legend, isn't he? Doug.
He's a fucking legend. He's tough.
He is.
He's tough and he's talented.
Before a long time
ago. He's very talented, but intimidating, you know? And, like, that was the experience. I was so used to that in Europe, being intimidated and having to overcome that. But in L.A., I had no idea what to expect. I was, like, totally out of my comfort zone here.
Thought you'd be picking sprouts all day.
Right.
But
well, I didn't. I was living out of a suitcase. I was like, I'm just coming here to visit my brother. I'm going to stage at these restaurants.
Oh, okay.
There was no like intention to stay in LA. I was going back to Chicago to eat hot dogs.
You thought you were going to come eat some squirrel toast and then head out.
Exactly. Of which I did, of course. So I went to Animal. I worked for Jonathan like for a week and I was like, dude, this kitchen's so different from anything I've experienced. And that was a really good thing for me. So I stayed, in which I got to know John and Vinny. You know,
so you just crashing on your bro's couch at this point or
totally crashing. I was in so much debt from Europe. I like barely was making any money. So I had to really dig myself out of a financial hole and a mental one a little bit. Cause I was like, I can't believe I'm here in LA and like, am I staying? And I didn't take to LA at first. I had no friends. I was in a kitchen with all guys and that was hard a little bit. There was I think
really
one other
hard.
Female cook, one or two.
We don't respect people from the flyover states here so well either.
That's how it felt.
So how were you able to climb out of your financial debt on a line cook salary?
Living on a couch, mm-hmm. really, yeah. And having the best brother in the whole wide world to help me get out of that.
I guess... Cute.
Yeah, it's cute. He's the best.
I guess you got to have free food, which is a big one, probably.
Free food all the time. And I wasn't like going out. Because right. I had no friends, so yeah. this was really working out for me.
Rosé in the bathtub.
Rosé in the bathtub. Yeah, like when you know he was out of town, it was party time. Like this, you just got to capitalize on those little moments. Mm-hmm, but you know, I would make Italian food at family meal, and I was really clear with John and Vinny that I loved Italian food and that I was very passionate about it. I knew that they were taking over the Damiano space and that it was under construction, but I didn't know what that would look like. I was worried if I went over there as a cook that, you know, that wasn't really where I wanted to be. I wanted to push myself and be very challenged. And they hired a different chef. So I was like, okay, like I'm not even in the running for that job. And long story short, the chef parted ways. They didn't have a chef. And I was looking to move back to Chicago. I'd been an animal for a long time and kind of serendipitously.
Mm-hmm. Serendipitous, yeah. Yeah. That was the word.
John and Vinny lost their chef. I was ready to leave Animal, and they were like, no, you're not going anywhere. Like, we want you to come over to us with John and Vinny's.
So you opened it up.
I was scared shitless. I was scared. I was like, I've never, like, to be completely honest, as a cook, you know, I had still been feeling like I needed to prove myself and trying so hard. And I think what was different about me is that I had so much leadership experience and that I was ready to guide people, even though I was still learning myself all the time. You know, mm-hmm. I made it a point to train people when they sucked. Like, because I know what that's like. Yeah. Like, I had been in that place for so long.
You were born for this.
I was fucking born for it.
I believe it.
And so, yeah. So they were like, hey, try this out. We trust you. The thing is, they trusted me and they believed in me. And so that was enough for me to be like, when do I start?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But boy, did I not know what I was getting myself into. Like 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., mm-hmm. like breakfast, lunch, and dinner without a break.
Yeah.
That's fucking hard.
You opened with breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Oh, yeah. We went.
I imagine without knowing that it just started with dinner service, and then you got the wheels moving.
No, I always tell John and Vinny this. I'm like, you guys have no chill, and it's amazing. And like, it's like a treadmill. You like jump on, and you can hang, or you can't. And like, that's sometimes not the best for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Like, I get why people are like, you're insane. Like, that's crazy. But there's ways to make it work. And
they
like,
know that there are some freaks out there that can do it.
Like
and
me.
And they find them.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it wasn't easy, that's for sure. Like, you know, now we have a staff of 40 back of house. That's mm-hmm. crazy. I never thought...
40?
40 people,
that
yeah.
is insane. Back of house?
40 back of house, 45 with all of our management in the back of house. So it's a lot, yeah. I mean, other people are doing way crazier things. But for a kitchen that I, like, hadn't... ever. Damn.
No, for your that's seats, crazy. For your space,
right,
for your, the mat,
right.
Like, so you do a lot of to-go, right?
Oh my gosh, we do.
It's insane.
You have an employee for every seat in the house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. That makes me feel a little bit better, actually.
Yeah, I imagine.
I mean, that's crazy.
It doesn't, I know, it's crazy.
Like, I don't know any other restaurant that has that.
It's crazy,
know?
But we have, you know, so much going on in that space. We have our large to-go format. Mm-hmm. We have our caviar orders and things like that. So,
and catering? Know, do you guys do catering?
Yeah, we do catering. Yeah. But we have a whole, you know, we have the Caramelized Productions, which is like catering exclusively, but like mm-hmm. we take like large orders all the time out of John and Vinny's.
Yeah, you guys would be printing money even if you didn't even open your doors.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I don't know like, about me.
Like
but
the customers
them, yeah.
coming in oh, shit, for, yeah. definitely not
yeah.
you, but like customers coming in, like they're sort of just like an annoyance for the kitchen at that point. Because like, everyone's just like, we have so many to-go orders.
No, it's not an annoyance.
I mean, like, obviously it's not an annoyance,
you know,
but
it's
like,
so,
what are,
it's such a unique experience being that the kitchen is open and that you interact with customers on a daily basis. Like for me, I've met the most amazing people. I've seen kids like literally born like, and they're like 3 years old now or whatever the case.
Right.
It's like you start to kind of like integrate yourselves into people's lives in a really special way. And like, that's what I loved about Chicago is like, I grew up in this restaurant where it was the first job I had as a host was at this place called Sunny's. And I was hosting then, you know, bartending as a 16-year-old. Chicago is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And, But you also know, in I was Chicago, just pouring
you
wine.
Can ride a motorcycle without a helmet.
But like, I was like, I'm going to take this restaurant over, you know. And like, it was cool that that was the same place that I had, you know, been in the same space. And now I have these like little kids who like look up to me and like come every Saturday and they like want to run the food and help, which like right. we really can't do. But it's fun to like see their interest.
Mm-hmm. But you just said it because when we started, I described John and Vinny's as a little bit casual, and yeah. I think it kind of is, but it wasn't what I wanted to say. What I wanted to say and what is what you just said is that it's more of like a family-style mm-hmm. local restaurant, which is weird because L.A. doesn't really have any – doesn't have that many that feel like that marquee that like combine right. – it's hard to get in. It's incredibly mm-hmm. well-recognized, but it also is like small and family and local mm-hmm. even though there's – it's Fairfax. There's no local yeah. for Fairfax. It's like mm-hmm. it's its right. own little island, but it's like – yeah, it's different. It has that feeling of mm-hmm. of like a East Coast Italian neighborhood yeah, restaurant. Yeah.
And like I fight for that so much because like I think, you know, me being able to be in the space as someone who's able to like talk to the tables and engage with the customers, like it does create like a different ambiance. And some people would really hate that. I mean, so many kitchens like and chefs that I've worked for would be like, fuck, I gotta go out to the table. Like, that really sucks. Like, for some reason, that's like something I really enjoy.
I work in the kitchen because I don't want to
exactly,
talk to people.
Exactly. And sometimes with the cooks, they have a hard time with that because we have that open bar seating and like customers will ask questions all night or, you know, in a lot of ways, it makes it harder on the cooks because they have to be cleaner, they have to be more organized. Mm-hmm. They can't fuck up without someone like seeing it, you know.
Right.
Yeah, that is.
It's different.
Yeah, that is. We've done. I don't know why I would bring this back to me. We've done a few pop ups, and some have been in front, and some have been in back of a kitchen, yeah. and the experience is like so different.
It's so
so different. A lot of whispering going on yeah. when it's open,
mm-hmm.
like,
right?
As opposed to like this is bullshit,
right? Exactly. Well, and that's the thing. It's like I learned every day I can't lose my shit.
Right.
Like I have a bad temper. Like I do.
Classic Chicago.
Classic. Well, that's what's so funny is my friends will be like, Chicago is out.
Do you have a record?
Out. Yeah. Well, guys, I don't. But like,
guys,
I do have
I
a temper. I have a temper. And so like.
I have a cousin, the Force. So no, I don't have a record.
Jason,
but.
Andre, listen to me.
But like, I can't go Chicago style, you yeah. know, in a kitchen. And like, especially because I'm like a female leader and I take that so seriously. It's like, I want to show a lot of the cooks that come and work for me that, you know, kitchens don't have to be a certain way and that I can offer them. You know, a type of leadership that might not like degrade them or demean them in any way, mm-hmm. But also they know when I'm upset and I'm stern. Mm-hmm. But the customers do too, so that's a lot of pressure. It's like when the kitchen's fucking up and you're like, oh my god, guys, right. pull your shit together. You know, I can't really do that, so I've had to learn other ways to like lead and like assert when I'm angry, but without like showing face. So it's definitely.
You just stomp on people's feet.
I walk around the block a lot. Like if you ever come to John and Vinny's and see me walking around the block, it's just because I need to walk it off. Like I'm stressed out, like just walking around, just needing to cool off a little bit.
So when you walk, you go for a walk around the block, yeah. do you leave your apron on or do you throw it off on the ground
ceremonially? It depends on my mood. It depends on my mood and like my level of frustration, but usually the apron is on.
So when
I don't have enough, you know.
So when everyone in the back of house sees you going for your walk, they know.
They're like, stay away from Chef.
They know.
She's pissed. Yeah. But, you know, then I come back cool, calm, and collected, and we're okay. We move forward.
I like the idea of your version of cool, calm, and collected, and then, like, what people actually see. You're like, can I come back cool, calm, and collected?
Yeah, exactly.
People are like, holy shit.
She's mad.
Yeah,
she's
Courtney
mad.
Just threw a really toilet yeah. and threw a windshield of a parked yeah. car.
Yeah. Well, you know,
she just lifted a school bus over her head.
I threw a measuring cup once, and I was like, this is not okay. Like I was like, I don't want people to see me that way, and I regretted
deep down,
it.
You don't want to be that person.
Yeah, you don't
why?
Want to be
because
that person.
You want to go by weight,
exactly,
and not volume,
exactly. Yeah, you understand.
We're all trying to switch over to by weight, aren't we? It's
we
not
are.
Easy.
It's not.
So is the food at John and Vinny's the type of Italian food that you wanted to make, or did you have yes. to adjust your style?
No, it's exactly. Yeah, I mean, guys, like I. In Chicago.
Because John and Vinny's is a specific style of Italian food.
Oh,
yeah.
One
of the few places in LA that has a vodka sauce.
Right, exactly. But like I grew up with Gavadil and vodka sauce. Like that was a Sunday sauce that we ate mm-hmm. weekly, you know. Yeah. Meatballs for sure. Like veal milanese. Like, you know,
meatballs at John and Vinny's are fucking good.
They're the best. They're delicious. But like, you know, part of like what really works for John and Vinny's, I think, is that people can come and they know what to expect, or they kind of have these memories now, these food memories of like, we like the meatballs, we're going to come and get the meatballs. And it kind of becomes a staple on the menu. And we do
like
have
things
like
things that you got to get when you go there.
Exactly. Which is like how I grew up. Like I knew the best place to get rigatoni. I knew the best ways to best place to get like baked mozzarella. And I like would different restaurants, different places. Mm. And I was lucky that way.
Do you guys ever consider putting a Chicago style pizza on the menu?
Yeah, like I've been thinking. Really? I've got. Well, no, not like deep dish. No, I can't do it, guys. I'm not gonna do it. I don't want to do. Like you're talking about like.
I'm talking about Giordano's.
Deep dish.
We're
talking about deep dish. You're from Chicago.
Well, what's the difference between
what we'll be talking about?
Well, what is your definition of Chicago style pizza?
No, well, there's
then?
Some places that have some really amazing like thin crust. Like Paisano's in Chicago is the best like Italian beef pizza with giardiniera on it that like drives me nuts, and I'm like obsessed.
Make that.
I dream about it.
We take everything back. Okay.
Like that's
make,
what I'm saying.
Do what you
yeah,
just said.
That's,
so when you say
that's
beef,
when, yeah.
beef pizza,
yeah.
does that mean sausage?
No.
What do you ground
it means,
beef?
Like, have no, you it's never
like
had
a, like
oh my
a
God.
Hot beef sandwich, but on a pizza, right?
Have you ever had a hot, like an Italian beef?
Yeah.
Okay, so you take the beef, you lay it on the pizza.
Some like freaking strips with some onions and
yeah,
pepper.
It's
and
not
stuff.
Strips.
But isn't a big thing the au jus? So how do you keep the pizza going?
You don't
from going?
Do au jus. You don't do au jus. Okay. You wouldn't really.
What about au jus dipper?
That's an idea. But think about
ranch?
The fact that there's red sauce on.
Right.
Guys. Come on, guys. Come on.
Well, back
but
up
don't
a couple.
Fuck with me.
The Italian beef is like, the thing is you got to eat it before it gets soft because of
exactly.
the big ladle of au jus, right?
Right. But, I mean, some people prefer the Italian beef dipped. I mean,
right.
this is like, it depends
yes.
on your preference. Mm. But this will not work on a pizza.
No.
So we do red sauce. We correct do like probably like thin Italian beef and then giardiniera. Mm-hmm. And definitely some cheese. You could do like some provolone, some mozzarella. We'd have to play around, guys.
I want
to
eat this pizza.
Could you explain giardiniera to people who are listening who might not be familiar with it?
Oh, my God. Giardiniera is the most delicious pickled relish. It's not even really pickled, actually. That's wrong. It's more of like a relish used in Italian beefs. It's composed of like cauliflower, carrot, sometimes red pepper, sometimes not. It can be spicy. There's a lot of celery. Mm-hmm. And it's oily and delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And you use it as a condiment on Italian beef.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can mix it up, put it on some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Usually like a beef and peppers, like or a sausage, Italian sausage, mm-hmm. for sure.
A twerked up relish.
It's a twerked up relish for sure. That's two twerks
it's
that
chunky.
We've used today. It's chunky
it's
and
thick.
It's delicious.
You can tell, like when you see
yeah.
it, you can tell the cauliflower is cauliflower.
Exactly. And you can tell the celery is celery.
Yeah.
And carrot. But it depends like who you get it from because a lot of people kind of mix it up with
so
what they're
pizza with
in.
That, a healthy dose of that smeared all over it?
You wouldn't smear it all over it. We do
dollop.
We it not really dollop, but like more of a sprinkling. And it depends if you want like mild or hot. Like these are questions we have to answer before we put it on the menu.
That sounds like a fantastic pizza.
I got to run this by John and Vinny, but I think they might be into it.
So
they just went to Chicago, so I'm hoping that like they have some inspiration.
You get some freaking inspiration.
Yeah.
What about the deep dish though? Are you an anti deep?
I don't think deep dish is going to work in our oven. In our pizza oven. We got to play to our strengths, guys. All right?
Okay.
I got an mm-hmm. oven that doesn't
know
even
your
work.
Limitations.
Well, it works, but like it like mm-hmm. is very low temp right. on the line. So let's take oven out of the equation completely.
Yeah. Okay.
So now we have pizza oven, which is about 700 degrees. And when we're baking a deep dish Chicago-style
right.
pizza, we ain't going to melt that cheese. It's going to
right.
be ice cold in the center.
Yeah.
So we'd have to
cut. You need a lower temp and they cook for like 45 minutes, right?
Precisely. And then, you know, we'd probably have to like go next door and like
oh,
heat
like
it next
tree
door.
50.
right. Like, we just torch the thing. So, like, it's
don't
not...
Don't rub it
it's
in
not
the
work,
microphone.
But
will
look,
hear that.
I'll keep it...
Yeah, I want people to know I just did that. That's why I rubbed it on the microphone.
Hey, screw you!
Sorry.
I'll keep it in mind, but it probably won't happen.
Okay, so...
Plus, like, let's keep
out.
It real. Hold on. Deep dish is amazing. But, like, I go to Chicago and I'll eat deep dish. But, like, do you think LA is going to take to a deep dish spot? Is there one out here that
there's
I
a
don't?
Couple.
Oh yeah, there's that no. place on Sunset, right? Like Masa or something.
Yeah, but that would
no. That place sucks.
I like. Well, I'm one of the few people who think it's okay, but I don't think it compares. Like, if you had it, you'd be like, "Oh, this is a big pizza, but it's not Chicago."
Yeah,
pizza.
There's a place
right.
on
even
Melrose called Blackbird that does
yeah.
a pretty good
okay.
deep dish, and then there's a place called Dough Box in like
Dough Box.
It's like Boyle Heights, and
yeah.
apparently they have a very. I've heard they have the best deep dish in LA.
I will say,
to be
though,
determined.
I've never had deep dish that I liked more than another type of pizza. So you can say the things like, do you think LA is the right place? Do you think
right.
people would embrace it? People
right.
don't like to eat like that. They don't like to eat as heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also, in the grand scheme of things, I think my favorite pizza memories, you know,
aren't necessarily deep dish, which is just a lot of cheese and sauce and like traditionally pepperoni.
It's
and
like
sausage.
An entire layer of sausage. Yeah. Like they have like, sausage wheels that they freeze and they like put it on at Lou Malnati's. It's like bam, bam, cheese, sausage layer, sauce.
That's crazy.
That's a lot happening
sausage
there.
Wheel. I just don't like
sausage wheel.
I think I don't know, but I'm sure if you did it, people would be very happy too. Is the other thing.
Right.
You would have some people very happy.
If you build it, they will come.
Right. That's true. But guys, I don't know if they will.
I'd rather eat the hot beef.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So what other things do you want to squeeze onto this J&V menu from your childhood? Because you've been saying all these Italian things like baked mastacholi and all these things. Like those are regional specialties that we're not too familiar with over here.
Really? I mean, like baked ziti, all that stuff?
We know about it a little bit.
Okay,
but like,
lasagna, have you heard of that?
I know
what you're saying, but a lot of people here, those are like, you know, like the baked shells and all those things and the strombolis. Like,
right.
They don't really exist in LA so much.
I know. So that's what we're playing with right now. Like we've been working on a lasagna. I know you're like, lasagna seems so easy. Why can't you just like make it happen?
No, but lasagna is one of the most delicate dances in the Italian kitchen.
Exactly. And like executing it. That's the thing. Like when, like we say, like the restaurant's busy. It's like when I have so many cooks coming in and out, what is going to work? You know, for repetition, and are they going to be able to execute things with consistency? Like part of the reason we're successful is because we have a staff that is making the same food, and sometimes for cooks that drives them nuts. So I have to find ways to like keep it happening. So like that's why we want to move forward with certain things on our menu and also like work within certain parameters so we know like who's cooking it and if they can pull it off. So right now we're working on lasagna and we're probably going to be selling that like to go for sure, but can we execute it in house? Stay tuned.
Those are the kinds of things that you are better when you make them the day before, right?
Yeah, exactly. But like heating it up and things like that. Remember the oven thing? It's like gotta work that pizza oven and
I feel like we need to get that oven down at John and Vinny's maybe repaired or replaced. I think they have it in their budget.
No, it works. It's just like what we use it for is not what we need. Like what we would
or
need.
Or maybe buy
we use
another
it for,
oven.
We got meatballs
you guys
in there.
Have
we have so,
so much
many meatballs
money.
In there. It's literally like two trays of meatballs in there at all times. So it's like
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about secret menu?
Secret. Oh, we have a lot of secret.
Wait, I didn't know that you have any secret menu at all.
I know.
Well, you have to be Emily Ratajkowski to get it.
Guys, you're going to get me in so much trouble with this secret menu.
Well, you can give one and then you can tell us the rest.
No, I can't. You know who's the worst?
Do a fun one.
You know, like
do one fun one.
You know, like when you look to family and you're like, you know, my level of stress.
Solamente uno.
Yeah. My brother comes in and he's like secret menu all day long. And I'm like, the secret menu has to be at the perfect time. Like you can't take advantage of the secret menu when the restaurant's full and people are going to see it. You're getting me in so much trouble, you know what I mean? But obviously like the best part about being in Southern California is we have access to the best produce.
Yes.
And so like making, you know, a spaghetti with tomatoes and basil is so delicious. Like whipping that stuff out as a secret menu is fun because like, you know, I can do that very quickly and I have access to those ingredients.
The baseline of what's in your walk-in is so high that it's easy to freestyle.
It's the greatest.
Did you just say spaghetti with tomato sauce is on your secret menu?
No, it's like the market tomatoes. So it's different. It's like I'm making it a la minute. Yeah, so I'm not just like, hey, pomodoro, there you go.
A la minute.
Bam, you know? And sometimes we have
pasta a la Santa Monica Farmer's Market?
Yeah, okay. That's what it's called. But we will probably put it on the menu soon enough. Tomatoes are coming back, so it'll probably come on. But, like, obviously we have, like, linguine. We do a lot of riffs of linguine. A customer came in last night, and we did something, like, they wanted only butter and pepper, and I was having fun playing around with that. I just like doing different classics.
Were they five by themselves?
No. Off record, we'll talk about who it was.
It was a rapper, wasn't it?
I will not disclose that information.
Okay. You guys do have a lot of celebs in there, it seems like. Every time I go there, there's always
every
someone.
Every customer is a VIP, guys, okay?
Ooh,
great answer. Great answer. Do you have any specials? Everything on the
menu is special. Exactly, see?
You learned that shit at Chevy's. I've noticed at John and Vinny's that it might have the most like attractive clientele out of any restaurant in LA, perhaps.
It's a lot of pressure.
I'm listening.
What do you mean it's a lot of pressure?
Like coming in there, I'm just like, damn, geez. Like
I look like shit today compared to
everyone? Yeah, like
everyone?
I roll out of bed, you know, I'm like, fuck, why, what's, it's, everyone's too pretty in here, you know, what's happening? That's another thing
that
about
LA. That would annoy
LA.
Me.
Like you're wearing an apron and a hairnet
and I have, like,
gloves
and
they walk in all hot and stuff.
Right.
What are the bridge trolls, you know what I'm saying?
Those are You got to head east for that.
Got to head east, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know why every attractive male and female person in L.A. just loves John and Vinny specifically. And it's like a weird thing that I don't understand.
Maybe it's the playlist. It's like the music. They like want to be seen and like hear good music.
Did you say maybe it's the playlist?
playlist, yeah.
Interesting where you put the...
Playlist.
Playlist. You guys have a banging Sonos over there, huh?
Banging. But like we make the playlist, and by we I mean me and sometimes other people. Helen, John, Vinny, everybody gets in the mix. It's fun. It's so fun. You have to. Like you gotta keep the staff moving, you know what I mean?
Well,
in that place.
Like you said, if you know, if the menu little static from time to time, then keep the music, keep the energy going.
The ambiance.
The ambiance.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you didn't hear this kind of music like at Sonny's where I worked in Chicago. It was Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin all day. Yeah. Which I tend to really enjoy.
Yeah, which is not a bad thing.
Which
I really wonder like the whole thing of restaurants, like we're like a nice restaurant, but we play like gangster rap and it's crazy. Like that was like a thing like 10 years ago.
Right.
That was like a revolutionary idea that was so insane, and now every single restaurant does it, and it's kind of their thing. What do you think is going to be the next like crazy funky juxtaposition?
I hope there isn't one. I love hip hop so much.
Thank you.
Like I don't. Yeah, I love it.
I mean, I do too.
But the thing is, like, a lot of people kind of hate that about John and Vinny's. Like, we've gotten mixed reviews. Some people love the music. Some people hate it.
Sure.
I think it gives the restaurant, like, some personality in a way. Mm-hmm. What's next? I don't know. I hope not country. Sorry.
No.
I hope that never happens.
Yeah. I mean,
what do you guys think?
I'm okay. I mean, I love rap music. I listen to it all the time, and I DJ it all the time. But also, like, sometimes when you go to a restaurant, they're kind of like, they really want to walk the line, the high and low of like.
Right. What are you talking about? Like, you know, somebody doing farm to table, farmer's market, squirrel like food, and then just playing trap the entire time.
Right.
And just kind of like, isn't it crazy?
Isn't it crazy? And like, I'm going to crank it up super loud, and it's going to be like gangsta rap.
Yeah.
But like, I have like Santa Barbara urchin as well, and that's a crazy. Like, look at me.
Yeah, it's a lot, and like. We have to like work on that all the time because like I'll come into the restaurant and be like, what the hell? Like, you know, they got Gangstar on at 3 o'clock and like a mother's like covering her kid's ears. And I'm like, this, maybe we need to adjust. And we have. And
you're like, why am I the only person who's noticing this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Exactly. But no, like we've worked together and like we're on it a little bit more. And definitely at 8 a.m, I'm not playing, you know, Gangstar.
I didn't even know that you guys are open at 8 a.m.
Yes. Come and see me. I'm there all the time.
What's on the breakfast menu over there?
We got soft scrambled eggs. We have a really good BLT. I love it so much. It's the best.
Plantain eggs?
We do have plantain eggs. Have you had the plantain eggs? How did you know that? Good guess.
He's an Italian
seems
himself.
Seems like a thing.
It would make sense.
Italian, did you say? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Is it bad to say that?
Italian. Genoa? Italian. Oh, my grandmother's from Torino. She's from the north.
Yep.
The best.
Mm-hmm. Daddy, you know.
It's controversial. Although I went to Sicily this past summer and I was like, whoa,
my uncle married a Sicilian.
Whoa, yeah.
People don't. Some
my
people
grandfather's
like
a Sicilian and my grandmother's a Northern Italian. And they have
you guys
a lot
beef
of
like
conflict.
North and South Korea, don't you?
Whoa. No.
Timely.
No. No nukes pointed at each other.
No.
Can't afford it.
No.
The fisherman's village salary.
No.
No nukes. What? I think maybe your most popular thing is the rigatoni with the vodka sauce over there.
Fusilli. Get it right.
It's an absolute desert of vodka sauce in this town.
How do you make that sauce?
Who else makes vodka sauce here?
No,
a lot of people.
No, he just said we're in a it's
a
vodka desert.
It's a desert,
and it's such an iconic dish that is so close to people's hearts who have grown up and lived on the East Coast, and it's such a glaring. Such a glaring, what's the word I'm looking for? Exemption, or the glaring hole that it doesn't exist in more places.
I know.
Not unlike a deep dish.
Right.
Or a playlist.
An Italian beef.
Or an Italian beef, or a freaking mustacholi, you know. But I was doing some vodka sauce research maybe a year or two ago.
For
just
yourself?
Trying to figure out. Well, like I was trying to make the vodka sauce myself because I went to John and Vinny's and I've had vodka sauce before, but it was very good there. And then I was like, oh, I want to learn how to make it myself. And I was looking up recipes online. Mm. And then I was like, why is there vodka in the vodka sauce? And then there's some kind of like lore behind it and a little myth as to why it's in there.
Tell us about the myth.
Well, the myth that I gathered that was the most popular one was the vodka is in there because the alcohol in it allows the smell of the tomatoes and all the ingredients to be sort of weaponized in the air.
Enhanced.
More. Like, the alcohol allows it to diffuse into a more absorbable mist when you're smelling it, which sounds a little ridiculous. Because vodka doesn't really offer much flavor.
Flavor, right.
No.
No. But
what do you have? Is that some, have you heard that theory?
I have heard that theory.
What
and
say
you know
you?
What's so interesting is you? When you're in when you're in Italy, like it's not common on a menu, you know.
I've never seen it anywhere in Italy.
I have never.
It's not an Italian dish.
No, and
it's
fact,
a New
like,
York dish.
I have one of my vendors who comes in who's like, "What is this vodka? You know, what are you guys doing?" And he's a crazy little Italian guy, and he doesn't really understand what the hell it is. But it's definitely something that like is a staple in American Italian food,
right?
As to how we make it, I think what's different about John and Vinny's is that we use tomato paste, which a lot of vodka sauce recipes use actual canned tomatoes and kind of mill them and or like pulse the tomatoes.
So Solamente like tomato paste.
Solamente tomato paste.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah, which is pretty dense, but like you really have to balance that with
you're toasting the tomato paste in the pan?
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
But not too much.
Cream
not
and butter?
Yes. Correct.
Red chili
flake? No, but
correct. Keep going. There's a couple other things you're missing.
Okay. Tomato paste, red chili flake, cream, butter, salt, obviously.
Yeah, nailed it.
What else would be in that little
sandwich? Anything powdered?
No.
Okay.
Garlic?
No. Surprise.
Ooh. Chinese five spice.
Okay, do you want me to tell you? Or
yeah. Yes. I mean, definitely.
shallot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Parmesan cheese, basil,
and
there you go.
When does the basil go in?
At the end,
yeah,
always.
Okay,
because otherwise it becomes all muddled and gross.
Right. Yeah.
What do you think about when people make the sauce where they take like the Scott Conant tomato sauce? Have you seen that?
Yes, of course. I've made it.
Okay.
It's delicious. It's legendary.
It is legendary. But how do you feel about doing that basil oil infusion and then pulling it out?
No.
No.
I don't want to do it. Mm. I think Scott Conant does that really well.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. You know what? I like, especially when we pick it up on the line, like I like the fresh basil inside the pasta.
Absolutely.
I prefer it. Although, like, I really do like that pasta that Scott Conant makes. It's delicious.
I mean, it's so good.
Yeah.
It has so much.
It's a lot of work, though.
It is a lot of work.
You know.
But it's a fun one to make.
It is. If you're trying, you know, you're having a date, you're trying to like get the room to smell really good. You've got the garlic and the basil oil. It's just sets the tone.
What's the hardest dish to make at John and Vinny's?
Well, all the dishes on the line are pretty fast. But I would say like the more labor intensive is the meatballs. Like it's a kind of like a 3-day process just because we're like marinating them, we grind them down, we shape them. Yeah, because like we're essentially marinating them for a day.
Walk me
we
through
grind
this
ball.
Them. We got beef,
you got it.
Pork.
You got it. We got beef and pork.
No veal.
Mm-hmm. But when we are marinating, you want to know, I'm not telling you everything that's in there. I'll get.
No, but give us as much as you can.
People are going to take me out for that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean? No. This definitely seems like a trade secret.
But you marinate them. So whatever kind of flavors you're trying to
put
into your
Jason's
meatball.
Look how excited Jason's getting. He's like, no, say all of it. Say all of it.
I will, off record. After.
So you
marinate them. You break down all the meat. You marinate it. You grind it. You then mix in the breadcrumbs and a certain cheese of your liking.
What do you mean marinate?
You kind of bind them. So you're marinating them with like aromatics, for example, oregano, maybe onion, maybe garlic if you want, maybe shallot, whatever you want to do.
She's saying it sits instead of it's not cooking right away.
The aromatics are sitting with the meat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just chilling in the walk-in.
Got it.
We prefer to do that in the morning, so by nighttime when we're ready to grind them, they're nice and flavorful.
Okay.
Then you're letting that mixture sit so that when you're ready to roll out the meatballs, it sticks together and it's all emulsified and delicious.
I've never thought of making the meatball mixture a day in advance just to let it sit.
Mm-hmm. It helps
amazing.
To keep the shape.
Of course.
It's actually something I remember my grandmother doing as well. She was always doing things before.
I've made so many meatballs and it's never occurred to me to do that. And of course that makes incredible amount of sense that it would be better.
Right.
I'm a dum-dum.
Well, you also got to get a good meatball scoop.
Sure.
You know, that really works.
I've got an ice cream scoop.
Because some people shape them by hand, but what a meatball scoop really does is keep them nice and like the same size, which is very beautiful when you're plating them.
A little uniform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all uniform.
And they'll all cook at the same time.
They're all cooked. They're braised in red sauce.
What are your tips for keeping the... Because those balls are real moist and tender and not dense at all. What are the meatball...
The tricks?
The tricks.
I think finding a binder, like, for example, breadcrumbs, panko, whatever you want to use.
Quinoa.
You know, my friend Jessica. Hi, Jessica. She's the best. Jessica Largi. She's going to have this restaurant called Simone soon, but she's telling me she dried out... I think it was like quinoa, and she made it. Farro. It was farro. She like dehydrated it, then pulsed it, and used that as a binder for... meatballs. Mm. Insane. Farro. I'm not doing that.
So like she cooks the farro.
She cooks it. She like bursts it all the way.
Right.
And then she dries it out, pulses it.
Interesting.
And
then
I don't know if she dries it out. I might be making that shit up, but.
You can use I've had meatballs.
There's alternatives. Yeah.
That were like just white bread soaked in milk.
Right.
That
exactly.
kind of thing.
Well, that's traditional for like us growing up Italians.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what our families did. Like that's definitely, my grandmother always just like soaked bread in milk, like you said.
Yeah,
and then with her hands,
nice almond
did
milk
the whole thing.
To soak it down.
Never almond milk. Oh, almond milk. We make our own almond milk.
Oat milk, idiot. That's what they were
using. That's happening. Oat milk's big. It's on the up and up.
Wait, you guys make almond milk at John and Vinny's?
We make it.
That seems like
it's a lot.
Seems a little unnecessary for John and Vinny's to be making their
own
almond
milk. Makes a good
latte.
Yeah. Is it also for breakfast service?
Guys, 45 employees. It takes a village, okay?
That's true.
Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, I really feel like if I was John or Vinny, I would be like, just buy the fucking almond milk that comes in the bowling pin and be done with it.
No, but they have great taste.
Get
so
a
freaking barista
blend.
They know that doesn't taste as good as us making it.
I mean,
it on our
that's
own.
Why that's why they're killing it, you know?
That's
attention
why they're killing
to
it.
Detail.
Yeah. Back to our meatballs. All right, listen.
Sorry.
I think that
you should have your own
frying
podcast.
Them.
Can I come on your podcast?
Really know how to steer the fucking shit.
Yeah.
Frying them, you got to have enough space to fry the meatballs
when
you're doing them at home. Yeah, you got to get a good pan that will fit enough oil to kind of get them enough browned on all sides.
Mm-hmm.
Then taking them out.
We're doing olive oil?
You don't have to do olive oil.
We're doing
vegetable
oil? We
don't do olive oil. We do peanut oil.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, freaking nice.
But at home, you could definitely do olive oil. It would be delicious. Like if I did it at home, I would definitely do olive oil. Whatever I have, you know, to make it work.
Not a lot of people have peanut oil in the crib, you know?
No, of course not. So I would shoot for olive oil. And then you want to braise them covered in sauce. And then I think what really works nice is insulating the pan with like saran wrap and aluminum so they steam nicely. And then that way you can go low and slow temperature without like hurting them. And that keeps them, one, in the shape of a meatball, and two, like nice and cooked
through. So you get the big hotel pan with the sauce, the balls in.
Cover
and then
up.
You do saran wrap and foil.
Double it.
And the plastic no melty.
And no melty. I know. People get so scared when I like do classes and stuff or like cook for people at home. They're like, whoa, plastic in the oven, and then watch, something's going to happen and it's going to come back at me. So
do it at your own risk. I see people
but,
do it all the time and I know it's a normal
day.
Thing, but every time I see it, I'm like, that oven is hot and the plastic is...
But you don't want it... What would you say? You don't want to go over like 400 using it at like 275.
350. 350 for the first hour, then drop the heat. That's what I would do.
Yeah, but you know, if I take this plastic water bottle in a 350 degree oven.
Whoa.
Something bad's going to happen.
Is going to happen.
But I guess the people down at Saran Wrap have it all figured out, don't they?
And also like the industrial like plastic wrap we're using at the restaurant might be stronger.
True.
I don't know. This is someone should Google this. We should do some research on that.
Well, I'll ask Alton Brown the next time I talk to him.
Please do. Talk to Alton.
Is he doing this podcast?
He's not. He has not agreed to do the podcast just quite yet.
We've been trying.
He hasn't responded to my DMs on Instagram.
Well, you got me, so whatever.
Yeah. So far, you are better than him, absolutely.
100%.
What are you cooking at home?
Okay, so I happen to live with another chef, which is amazing.
Oh.
Yeah, Sarah Kramer from Kismet.
Okay.
She's great.
Mm-hmm.
And we, luckily enough, we have an amazing garden outside. So I am pretty spoiled right now. Cabbage, kale, chard, a lot of stuff is happening. So at home, like, this sounds so LA, but like, I'm able to take stuff from my garden and cook it, which is great. We like made our own grill.
That's awesome.
We bought a bunch of cinder block.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Sarah and her friend did, but like, I helped rearrange it. Okay. I helped rearrange it. Yeah. So, I get some of the credit, maybe not all of it, but just some of it.
So you built a cinder block
grill
in the backyard.
Yes.
Nice.
And it's awesome. Okay. I love it. You guys don't have to pay for the expensive stuff. You know, you make it on your own. DIY.
Sure.
You know, and
you
it
love
works.
It more, sure.
So at home, I'm cooking a lot of vegetables because I have access to them and I have that grill and it's delicious. And I think, you know, cooking at home with Sarah is really fun because she has such a different style. And it's.
Are you better a cook than she is or is
no,
she better?
No, she's my hero. I mean, like I.
Not
no.
really a serious question, by the way.
No, but we do make great creations together. Mm. It's a lot of fun.
Have you guys ever collabed your restaurants together on,
yeah.
on something?
Yeah, we just did a dinner for the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. We did it at Kismet with a bunch of female chefs, which is amazing. Mm. I mean, I worked with Nikki and Carol from Anaka, which is amazing. Mm. And then there was literally like 7 or 8 of us. And it was like the most calm, composed experience in a kitchen I think I've ever had.
Because there's no fucking dudes?
Yeah, that might be it. I don't know. What do you guys think?
What'd you make? I mean, sure. I mean, I've seen a room full of women get together and be pretty rough as and also
same which same you know.
Yeah, I've
look,
ever heard
same.
A real rough room before. Sure,
but
but
I'm sure
awesome.
All those I'm sure all those gals are pretty relaxed.
Yeah,
you know,
it was
like, Nanako lady is a
cool.
pretty zen.
Talk about cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah, she was
in her zone and it was amazing. But what did I make? I made a braised artichoke, piccata style. So I made this. You've had chicken piccata, right?
Oui. I have.
So I did like a chicken piccata sauce with some breadcrumbs, piave cheese, and it was really nice.
Piave cheese?
Piave.
What is that?
It's a mild cow's milk cheese, kind of a little bit creamier, softer than Parmesan. It's it has a little bit of sweetness, which is really good. It tends to be more affordable than Parmesan, so a lot of people use it instead of Parmesan.
Mm.
Just a little bit harder to find, but you could probably find it at a cheese store. I love it. Like, it's a great cheese for topping any sorts of dishes like pasta, but it also is like nice to snack on, which is unique.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll snack on that.
What do you do to not get fat eating all this food?
Oh, I know. Guys, I move around that kitchen like
nonstop.
Crazy. Nonstop. And a lot of it is
you're
like,
burning a lot of cal.
I do. I burn a lot of calories and like, you know, like Migo says, you got to walk it like you talk it. You get it.
Absolutely.
You wow. get it. Guys, you
great
get
Migos
it.
Pull.
Good Thank for you. Good for you, Courtney.
Thank you. But no, you got to move. Like, I'm constantly running around the restaurant. It is
because you don't have time to go to SoulCycle or anything like that with your schedule.
Wait, I have been to SoulCycle and it's amazing.
Oh.
Did you like it?
I did. Never it's the best. Like, I think it's a good workout because you really have to force yourself to zone out, and it pushes you so much that like getting your heart rate to that level, it feels really good.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm working out on my own, I'm obviously not pushing myself with someone yelling at me, telling me to move faster. I'm like, you know what? Do what's comfortable. Do what feels right. You know.
Yeah.
If you want to run a mile, run a mile. If you want to run nothing, you're not today. You know.
I guess that's why we pay these hotties, huh?
Exactly. It's so true.
If you just want to sit in your car parked in front of the gym and drink the coffee that you bought for the gym and then not
and then
work
not
out,
go.
Yeah,
or take a nap.
You can do that.
Take a car nap.
I feel like that's something that Andre and I will do once a week.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
So I move around at the restaurant. I do SoulCycle. I go to the gym when I can.
Healthy.
Damn, you're killing
Smart.
It.
You know what, though? Like, I'm getting older, and I know that sounds crazy, but I feel it more when I'm not taking care of myself. Like, I
it
have a hard time.
Crazy. Not crazy at all.
You guys get it.
That is
everyone
reality.
Listening.
You get it.
Everyone listening to this podcast
right.
is like, yes.
Right, exactly. And it's like, you know, going out and having a beer after a shift, for me, I pay for it the next day. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm not
even just
living that lifestyle. Yeah, well, yeah. Like,
she means like 30 beers.
I mean 30. But back in the Chicago days, guys, like,
you're hitting the freaking
the Chevy's
yeah,
days.
Yeah, you're going out, you know?
Yeah.
The Chevy's days. Oh my God. Big Chevy's plug.
So no more Jägermeister for you.
No
then.
More Jägermeister, but there was a Jägermeister time.
There was,
for
we
sure.
all had a little
we
bit of
We all
period.
Had that Jäger
No more
bomb.
Tequila and Mountain Dew is what you're saying.
No, no.
Okay.
Or RBV.
Been watching Queer Eye. Okay.
RBV, did you hear that one? Red Bull Vodka.
Red Bull Vodka?
Did you hear that? Yep. None of that, guys.
Red
None
Bull
of that
Vodka
anymore
will take
in my
you
life.
To another level.
I ain't got time for that anymore.
Good for you.
Yeah. So, and like being in LA, the hiking is amazing. Sorry, it's cliche, but in Chicago, you don't have that.
No.
There's no hiking. You're not hiking on the on your day
it's
off.
It's a true thing.
You're Hell not. No. Yeah.
No, I mean, we hike all. I hike all the time.
He hikes a lot.
Really? It's the best. What's your favorite hike?
I do the observatory right up the street.
It's a good one.
Mm-hmm. But I've hiked every summit in this damn town.
What about in Pasadena? Have you cracked that yet?
I've done some Pasadena. I've been up into some the Angeles National Forest over
there. There's some good stuff over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bring a little frickin' Italian trail mix up there.
Italian
catch
Italian
some frickin'
sub.
Trout.
Wait, question for you. What's your favorite Italian sandwich in L.A.? And please tell me, because I've had some, but I would like to pick your brain.
I think my favorite is probably Mario's Italian Deli in Glendale.
Oh, that guy, I die. With the slicer, and he's making the sandwiches. Mm-hmm. He's my hero. I have a picture with him.
Really? I think. Yeah. I mean, I think back in the day, the Bay City's godmother was everyone's favorite. Mm-hmm. But I think now,
it definitely was ours for a long time.
Now either the quality has gone down, or everyone's taste has improved.
Now. Yeah.
But I don't remember it. Or it's not as good.
I don't like the bread.
Bread's
too hard.
Yeah, the bread.
People live by the bread, and I think the bread.
I think the bread's good.
It's not the bread for me.
I'm mixed on it. I think it's better than some of the ones I've had here. I think Mario's sandwich has some great bread. Like, I like that bread on that sandwich. Although I craved a little bit of something on it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we do have a definite shortage of a quality Italian hoagie.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, we do.
The quintessential one doesn't really exist here so well.
I really like Soppressetta, and I really like Roma Deli in Pasadena. Those are my two favorites.
Mm. Oh, wait. I mixed it up. I'm not talking about Mario's. I mixed that up. Roma is the guy, right?
Yeah.
The old man.
With the pink paper?
With the pink paper.
I'm talking
I love
about
that pink paper.
Maybe Mario's so you haven't been to Mario's.
Oh, Mario's. I don't think I've been there.
It's good. But Roma is what you're talking about in Pasadena.
Yeah. Roma probably has a little bit more old man charm.
When you said Mario's, there is not the iconic old man that you're talking about like at Roma's, but there are old men at that. And I was like, oh, yeah, I really never noticed. Maybe you keep an eye out. But no, if anybody's ever been to Roma's, there is an old
Notorious.
Italian guy who is incredibly sweet and looks like something from Central Casting.
He's adorable.
Right. And they only have two sandwiches. It's the same sandwich, two types of bread, that's it.
Right.
It's incredible.
Mm.
Have you had a spicy soppressata that you like? Or do you like traditional?
Yeah, I think so. I'm talking about Soppressetta, like the spot in...
What's that? Guys, why don't I know about any of these places?
It's a restaurant in Silver Lake.
Not a sandwich that's just Soppressetta, but it's a sandwich place next to...
Ohana Poke.
Is it new?
It's a few years old.
4 years, four or five years
old.
I need
to check it out. I always drive past it. I'm like, what is that place?
Sunset and Silver Lake.
They basically are in the same space. Like, from the outside, it looks like two different places, but they... Have
across the street from Hipster Pho.
Okay, so that's got a good sandwich.
I think it's my favorite. It's not a traditional kind of Italian hero hoagie. A little smaller. It's slightly minimalist, but I think pound for pound, bite for bite, taste for taste.
My brother likes the Italian over at Prime Pizza in a pinch.
I keep holding on to the way you're saying Italian. It's cracking me up.
I haven't had it.
What is it?
Prime.
Where?
At Prime Pizza.
Oh, Prime. Great sandwiches.
The Italian.
Right down the block.
Italian is pretty good, huh?
Yeah. I like it. And I like their bread, too.
Yeah. What about you? What's your favorite Italian sub in town?
I mean, I
it's not easy.
It's not easy.
I mean, there's
I'm kind of with you on the Bay Cities thing, although, like, I first came here, and that's the first Italian sandwich I had.
Yeah, when you were back in the day, you go, then you get the godmother, and you're like, damn, this is good. And then you get some of the little truffle, the Jose Andres truffle chips.
Right. Might grab a...
Wash it down with a freaking Gatorade.
Might grab a slice of meatloaf from the counter.
Mm-hmm.
I've never tried that.
It's good.
Oh, interesante.
It's cute. It's like, you know, delis like that to me are so nostalgic, and I love them so much.
I got to take you over to Mario's.
Yeah, I want to go to Mario's.
They got a triple decker. They do the middle bread.
Yeah, but I think Prime's is pretty good, and it tends to be the one that's like easily accessible for me, so I go.
Cause it's like,
you'll like Mario's.
Yeah.
Because it's like 30 feet from your
it's
restaurant.
It's 30 feet. Those guys are great. I love those guys.
Shout out to all those freaking guys.
Those freaking guys.
All right, Courtney. Well, we're all done with this podcast.
Whoa, really? Already? Are we going to have hummus now?
Mm-hmm. We're going to eat some hummus?
Okay, I mean,
Andre made a very Ortolenghi-looking hummus, didn't he?
Yeah, and we have no dipping vessels but tortillas.
I think we're going to have to go pinky.
Right. That's fine. I mean, I've done it
we
before.
We have We'll find something. I think there's some tostadas, and then I've got flour tortillas from Sonora Town that I can crisp up.
Okay, he's going to crisp them up.
All right. Well, Courtney, what's your Instagram if people want to go follow you on there?
It's Full Court Press.
Ooh.
Really good.
Are you private?
Chicago Bulls. No, I'm not private, okay. But it's like weird. It's like underscore. You'll find it. Just Full Court Press.
Full Court Press, yeah. Courtney. And go to John and Vinny's if you're ever in Los Angeles.
Yep.
Maybe there'll be more John and Vinny's in the future.
There is. We're doing one in Brentwood soon enough.
Brentwood's such a smart move for that shit.
I know.
Such a savvy move to do that.
Yeah. It's bigger too. It's double the size, so double the fun, as they say.
A part of town where that will be.
Oh my God, that was so bad. Please don't put that in there. Oh my God.
No, but that's a part of town where it's like
double
that's
the seating,
cheap eats.
Double the fun.
You get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they'd be foolish to not have it be double the fun.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, it is Brentwood.
It is.
You can follow me at themjeans. Mm-hmm. Andre has no social media. And
thestewpodcast.com
has all the episodes if you want to go listen to them. And you've been a real pleasure, Courtney. You're welcome back anytime.
Thanks, Courtney.
My pleasure.
Okay, say bye.
Bye.
Do-do-do.